The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If this is your thing, that's fine. Go do whatever you want to do. Go marry a goat. I really don't care.
I would care about that.
Hey, is that your chicken making all that noise?
Oh, Jerry loves the morning.
Who? Oh, little Jerry Seinfeld. I name my chicken after you.
Okay. I draw the line.
I'd be interested.
I draw the line at bestiality.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Don't want to.
I was just marrying Jen.
I didn't say. For insurance.
Yeah, well, it comes down if little Jerry Seinfeld wins the cockfight. Great.
I was thinking for insurance purposes.
The goat might
need insurance.
So he says if little Jerry Seinfeld wins, the jet comes down. Kramer, cockfighting is illegal. Only in the United States.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at Radio City with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it.
On a scale of 1 to 10, guys, how much did I miss talking about ayahuasca and Aaron Rodgers yesterday on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy?
12.
15? We're idiots. I love being an idiot. I can't believe they pay us to do this crap. It's unbelievable.
Hey, keep it down, will you? Don't draw attention.
Go marry a goat.
You guys are morons, yep. But I love you so much. Yes, very disappointed that I wasn't able to be a part of the conversation yesterday. Maybe we'll dip our toes back in those waters today. Who can say? For now, the big news today. It's family night in Green Bay, guys. Now, listen, this used to be a lot bigger deal than it is right now, right? Like when they used to play each other and it used to be a real scrimmage and you felt like you could get a sense of where the team was and who were stars and who were all Oneida. It feels like they had more, I don't know, heft, right? It had more credibility. It was a bigger deal. Now it feels like, okay, going to run around, play a little patty cake and maybe do some fireworks. Gabe, am I overstating how... like, I don't want to say silly, but just like how meh family night has become compared to what it used to be.
Oh, I used to love going up there. My family and I would go up there a couple times a year, or not a couple times a year. We went up there a couple of times when I was a kid because, again, tickets are $10. So for us, a family of five, it was $50 to get in. It was super easy to do. You actually got to see... you know, it was a scrimmage. It wasn't a real game. I remember I think it was Doug. Like
Peterson?
had a long run in one of the games because he's wearing the red jersey. Nobody could touch him.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was fun. He had fun with that. And now I feel bad for like the people who have to like talk about this on TV because it's just a hard thing to broadcast. You have all these drills going on. It's tough to know what to like focus on when you're broadcasting it. Whereas when it was a game, it was a game. You could broadcast it like an actual game.
No, they used to cut the teams up. I remember, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Number one tight end goes here. All right, if you got the number one tight end, then this team gets the number one receiver. And it was more like a spring game.
Yeah.
But it was pretty good. I'll ask you guys, or I'll ask Ashy. Family night? Or the Pro Bowl?
Neither. What's my third option?
Last night's Hall of Fame game.
What's
my fourth option?
No, I watched three quarters of it. It was fantastic.
You watched three quarters of a quarter, maybe.
No. Josh Jacobs played, which I was surprised at. Stidham, he's still around. But I was getting a little tired of seeing Trevor Lawrence in his mane on... television.
I mean, maybe he did watch it.
I did.
He's providing his details
this on the internet.
I mean, come on, you're just guessing that they showed the number one overall pick a bunch of times. You know what I mean? It's kind of like saying I couldn't believe they showed cheese and cows on the intros.
Josh McDaniels' parents were on. It was very, very.
When you're lying, you're supposed to give less details. I'm pretty sure, right?
No, you give more to make it seem like you're not.
I always thought when you give more details, that's how people know you are lying.
The game was delayed due to bad weather in Canton. And then I saw the most exciting thing about the game, guys, was apparently people were fretting the over-under towards the end of the game, right? Because I think it was like set at 30 or something like that, or maybe low 30s. And then everybody was freaking out because they had taken the over based on the way the game had started. And then it kind of creeped. It slowed to a very slow pace, and then I'm not even sure that they hit the over one under. What was the final score?
27-11, I believe.
27-11.
They got it.
Yeah.
They got it. All right.
The overhead.
Anyone with me here that the Raiders are going to be in the AFC Championship game? This is a big tell.
What? You don't even believe that yourself.
Because Jarrett Stidham looked good last night?
Yeah, McDaniels, good flow. No one?
No, you're on an island there, pal.
Okay.
I understand you're wearing your black t-shirt today.
Doesn't sound like you have a bunch of allies there, but good question to you, Chu. Like, from an entertainment standpoint, I'm probably going to say family in it, just because at least that's a team that we care about, we're familiar with, right? Like, it's got all of those trappings. But both of them are pretty meh across the board.
Will you watch?
Family night? Sure. Why not?
I've got nothing going tonight.
I've got a wedding tonight, so.
Samesies.
I guess I'll have to catch it on DVR, maybe, if I remember to hit the record button.
So I gotta carry this whole load on my shoulders, you're telling me, right?
Well, I mean, it's football season. Isn't this when you're supposed to be carrying the load on this show?
Is that why Ashton's so angry today?
I'm angry? Well, I'm annoyed.
Ashton's starting up.
I wanted to be at yesterday's event, and I couldn't.
Ashton's got a lot going on. He couldn't go to the pre-party last night before the wedding. He's got the food truck, a lot of pressure on the food truck opening on Saturday. Got to go to a wedding tonight, so he's not going to be well-rested for the food truck tomorrow. This is a big stretch of days for
Ashton. That falls directly on you if I'm well-rested or not.
He's young. He's, what, 27 years old?
Thank you for remembering, yes.
I mean, holy, I would go a weekend with 2 hours of sleep. And you're complaining?
I'm not complaining.
Suck it up, Buttercup.
I'm just frustrated.
Chewy, nobody wants to know about the things you were doing when you were 27 years old.
No, they definitely don't.
Also, is Friday the best day for a wedding? It feels like it because you have the whole weekend to recover from it. Like those Saturday weddings, obviously I know that's very popular. A lot of people do that as well. But especially if you're inviting guests in from out of town and they're dedicating the weekend to travel, maybe you fly in on Friday morning, but you're flying out on Sunday evening so that day ends up getting chewed up. I love a good Friday wedding. We ended up having our wedding on a Friday. Costs a little bit less. It just feels like it's more guest friendly. Am I alone in this?
I'm with you.
Are you saying as the couple getting married or the people attending the wedding?
Both?
Because getting married is terrible. I mean, from that standpoint.
Are you talking about just across the board philosophically?
No, I'm saying, I'm speaking, I don't want to go around and say hello to everyone.
Of all the things you've said, saying getting married is terrible is probably
the one that's going to get you the most in trouble. If you're attending the wedding, then it's a blast. But when you have to go around to every single table and put the fake face on and, hey, great to see you.
I think that's a Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Do you enjoy going to weddings?
Yes.
But you don't enjoy...
For 15 minutes. Wait, if it was in Waukesha County, Gabe, I would have stayed longer at your wedding.
What, like 17 minutes?
Yeah. You had to beat the traffic.
Waukesha County.
It's like, do you like having parties for yourself? It's horrible.
Oh, please.
Right?
We had this conversation when it comes to birthdays as well. Friday or Saturday wedding, guys? Let's put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy poll. Because I think Friday weddings are gaining traction. I think people are realizing that, like, people can kind of scoot out of work early on Thursday, maybe, and travel on Thursday night. And then Friday morning, you're already at the hotel. You're in. You're ready to go. You end up having the party on Friday night. And then Saturday, you venture out to a brunch spot, you venture out in the city and that type of stuff. To me, it feels like the best way to maximize the weekend. Gabe, what do you think?
I feel like because a lot of times on Friday, you're still doing like a rehearsal dinner, that sort of thing. So people are going to be coming in on Thursday anyway. I mean, we did ours on Saturday. I took that following Monday, Tuesday off, so it didn't really matter to me. But
I tell you what, me and Angie did it perfectly. Okay, because we got
trying
married
to save some
on
face now?
We got married on December 10th. Yeah, I'm walking that one back. December 10th, right?
Which was
small
a...
family, which was a Saturday.
Okay,
just family, small, and then we had the reception on New Year's Eve.
Ooh,
and everyone loved it. So they're like, "When are you having another New Year's Eve party?" Well, unless you're Mormon, you can't get married more than once in this country. So that's it. People had a blast. That, isn't that a great idea?
That, I think that was a very good idea by you guys.
Jen?
I kind of like it. So you get married and then you say, bye-bye, leave us alone.
Yep.
And then a few weeks later, you have a party on a day that people are going to party anyway.
Correct.
Kind of like it. The only thing I will say is I'm a big fan of having a big wedding because you get more gifts. Right. And so I want to be able to invite as many people as possible, you know, even if I've only run into you once or twice, so that you can come and bring me a gift for my wedding. That to me feels also okay. Like a very strategic, smart plan.
Yeah. I don't think guys care about the gifts. I would think that's more of a girl thing.
We don't.
Do you?
I mean, I don't care about gifts, but I care that somebody put in the effort to get me a gift.
But additionally, what are people going to get you and Ange that you don't already have?
Good point.
A Peloton.
We got the knockoff, Jen.
So it's very exciting. Big wedding this evening. Should be fun. Family night as well this evening. So I think that people get excited for family night still, guys. I think that there are a lot of Packers fans out there who maybe they can't make it to practice because they're working their 9 to 5, so they can't scoot away and get out there and fill the stands. But because it's a Friday night, this is an opportunity for a lot of people across the state to get up to Lambeau Field. And we have talked about this before as well. Just from a cost standpoint, you might not be able to afford to get to an actual game this season. I know a lot of people want to and they try to, but like this feels like a family-friendly way of getting up to Lambeau Field, you know, maybe taking in some of the festivities around the stadium as well, and also seeing your Green Bay Packers up close. What do you think about that, Gabe?
Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned, it was always great for us as a family of five. You know, we weren't going to be able to afford going to a regular season Packers game. It literally caught, I mean, it's over $100 a ticket for a regular season Packers game. This is $10. And yes, it was better when it was an actual game, but you get to experience Lambeau. You get to go inside and watch your favorite team play in one of the cathedrals of professional
football. Is it all open? I mean, concession stands, everything. Is the whole stadium operating like it's game day?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Because that wasn't the case back when you went as a kid. I thought maybe one concession stand was open or something
like that. Well, it wasn't just like one concession stand. I think it was just like limited concessions.
Yeah.
You know, like...
But this is full-blown?
I think so.
That's kind of cool.
It's been a while since I've been there. But yeah, it was limited when I went because it was just you could get like a hot dog or a brat, you know, maybe like a Miller Lite and the soda machine.
No, it's a great thing to bring if you got a bunch of kids. Bring the kids because it is kid-heavy.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's a reason why it's family night, and that's why, because you can bring all those kids, and, you know, if you have a family of
Let me
four,
ask
family
you a
of five, it's
question.
Easier to get up there.
Like a regular season game, do you see, like, 6, 7, 8-year-olds at the game? Not so much?
No, I would say not so much. Every once in a while, you see some, but I just don't see a ton of them. And here's the other thing, Chu, especially over the last... you know, 3-4 years, as good as the Packers have been, like, I think they had one home noon game last year. When you're playing as many primetime games as the Packers play, especially at home, like, that's a late night for the kid who has to then drive home, even if you're in Green Bay, and get up the next morning for school.
Yeah.
So, it's tough. You don't see that many kids, I think, at Lambeau throughout the course of the season.
So, how do they distribute the tickets for this game? Half go to Milwaukee, half go to Green Bay?
They're just open.
What do you mean?
There's no
assigned seats or anything?
Well, it's just $10, yeah. It's $10 general admission.
So
first come, first serve.
When the stadium's full, that's it. They're shutting the doors.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But it's first come, first serve.
That's kind of cool.
One year, we made it down to like the third or fourth row. Like, we got there pretty early and got really good seats along your sideline or along, well, not your sideline.
Yeah.
It's an inter-squad scrimmage, so it doesn't really matter what sideline you're on. But, you know, we were down by the sideline. It was really cool.
Hmm.
Like, I've never sat that close since.
should be fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But you said something interesting to me, that you think that the Packers are going to want to try to showcase the wide receivers. We'll dive into what that might entail to try to make them look good at family night. Coming up next, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready? Out.
All Packers, all the time.
So Jair has to prove that he can get back to that as well. So while they are all good, or they all were good last year when they did play, I do think that that group has some question marks that have to be disproven.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically, or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from. Boucher Automotive. We are driven by you.
Friday, Jason Wilde. Happy Family Night Friday. Are you excited about tonight's scrimmage at Lambeau Field?
No. As Aaron Rodgers said, the weather is always the wild card, and it's amazing how many times over the years Family Night has been impacted by an unexpected thunderstorm and lightning and So I always look forward to the idea of family night. If it goes off without a hitch, you know, I like fireworks. My dogs don't like fireworks, but I like fireworks. I like tackling, which they may do tonight. We'll see. I love that they're going to do, if they're going to do it, they're going to do it with the young guys, which essentially sends the message of, if you guys get hurt, it's not a big deal. But other than that, yeah, I do. I enjoy family night. I look forward to the start of preseason games from a storytelling perspective, but also just in terms of an evaluation. This is the first mile marker on our journey to the 53-man roster. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Jason, are they going to try to make the receivers look good here? I mean, basically what I mean by that is like, all right, defense, I don't want you playing any bump and run. I want it very vanilla. You know, we want you technically sound, but we want to make the receivers look good.
I don't think so, Chu. I really don't. I mean, obviously the practices have been open to fans, most of the practices. I think we've had two that were closed that we attended as reporters. But, you know, like, you can only make guys look so good, right? And first of all, Romeo Doubs doesn't need anybody's help. Like, you know, he had another catch yesterday where you were like, okay, this guy's starting to look like the real deal. And, you know, even Jordy Nelson, who was at practice, there must have been a half dozen people that came up to him and said, oh, there's a new 87 in town. And I heard him say to one of them, yeah, that's what I hear. Romeo Doubs has a long way to go before he's Jordy Nelson, but he's not a guy that they're going to have to help look good. He continues to look good. I think the greater question is, how good can they make their offensive line look? How much effort will the defensive line and the edge rushers put forth? Because as Aaron Rodgers predicted before camp even began, they are definitely experiencing some growing pains. They're getting it handed to them more often than not right now. And they, an offensive line, and I know I sound like a broken record, but an offensive line not only without David Bakhtiari and without Elgton Jenkins, who are still on the roster but aren't healthy enough to participate, but also an offensive line without Billy Turner, who started a ton of games the last 3 years, and without Lucas Patrick, who started a ton of games the last 2 years. It is definitely in flux and not very impressive at the moment.
Jason, who's Dobbs remind you of? And it doesn't just have to be a former Packer. Like someone currently in the NFL or a former NFL player, who does he remind you of?
So he reminds me a little bit of James Jones in that he's really strong with his hands. Now, I know James early in his career had some drop issues, but in part that was because he never was a body catcher. Like, he was pretty good at plucking the ball. And I love free, But, you know, Free had some trouble with it, too, for a time because he was kind of a body catcher. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I would say that. And I'm always reluctant because there's also I started to make this comment, and then I stopped myself on our show yesterday. But when I watch the way Juwan Winfrey moves, not the way he gets off the line of scrimmage, not the way he catches the ball or makes big plays, but physically he reminds me of a certain guy that may or may not have played very much in the Hall of Fame game last night for the Las Vegas Raiders. But again, like, just because a guy looks that way, like, I'll be honest, they don't have a Chewy in their tight end group.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they do not have a guy that I look at and go, all right, this guy's a big dude who can both catch the ball and really be ferocious as a blocker. Like, they would love for Robert Tonyan once he's healthy, because I do think he was kind of trending that way for a guy who played quarterback early in college, that I thought he was trending to be being able to do the things that you would do. And as of now, they still have kind of a group of guys that all have some of the qualities of a tight end, but not all of them together, right? Your guy, Gunga Galunga, you know, he can motion into the backfield and play fullback. Like, Jesse asked me yesterday on the show if he was going to get cut. I don't think so. Like, they don't have a fullback on the roster. They need their tight ends to do that. And as much as we all love Tyler Davis and his potential based on one catch against Baltimore, I don't think at a point in his blocking ability that you could rely on him for that sort of thing. So, you know, again, I don't want to be Chicken Little, but between the wide receiver group, the tight end group, and the offensive line group, between now and September 11th, they got a heck of a lot to figure out.
All right, well, Jason, not to be Chicken Little, but I'm going to ask you. You're my buddy. You're my pal. I trust you.
Oh, now, boy.
At what point do I panic about David Bakhtiari?
So, you know, Gabe, I would like to state this publicly for the record. I said this behind your back yesterday through a mutual friend of ours. I love you, man. Like, you are an all-time great guy. You're an all-time great teammate. And I think I think that you think that I take particular delight in upsetting you or making you anxious about your favorite football team.
About a half a cup.
I don't take delight in that. I may take some small delight in the brief moment right after I make you feel that way when I get to hear how you feel. But then after that, you know, I like to think I'm a pretty good person, and I do feel bad. I'm not at the point yet where I would tell you you should panic. Now, one of the problems, and I've seen David in the locker room a few times, I am trying to take the approach where I am not going to wear guys out. I'm so happy to be back in the locker room that I'm trying not to talk to guys ad nauseum, because it's been 2 years since we've been in there, and I don't frankly want them to get sick of us, right? And so, like yesterday with Jair, I came over to him, and I think he was expecting me to ask him for a few questions, and instead I shook his hand. I said, I haven't talked to you since your extension. I missed the big group during the minicamp. I'm glad you're here. You've been really good to us, and I'm glad you're going to be here for a while. And he, you know, it was kind of a nice moment. And then he complimented me on my rainbow Nike 720 Air Maxes, and then we went on our way. So I haven't talked to Bakhtiari in about a week and a half since he did his group thing on the first day of camp. I have seen him outside doing rehab work. It has not looked as intense as it seemed to during the off-season program when we would be out there. So that has gotten my attention a little bit of, oh, I guess I thought he would be doing a little more right now. But when I see him moving around, he does look like he is moving better than he was before. Like, after he gets done doing whatever it is he's doing, he's not moving gingerly. And the reason that I would tell you that you should have more encouragement than anxiety is the one thing he said, that they're no longer worried about the ACL. Now, he didn't specify exactly what they had to do the third procedure on, but the fact that they're no longer concerned about the ACL, and then the fact that he followed that up by saying this is the first time since the injury that his knee has felt normal, I think those are encouraging signs. Now, do I think it's possible that they will play Mike McCarthy, Holy Side of Caution? And since PUP is only four games now instead of six, that they might go that route with him? I think that's possible. But I just keep going back to this team looks to me like a team that's going to take some time to figure it out. Offensively, defensively, they may be good right out of the gate, but I want to see more from them before I'm anointing them. But if you play it safe with both Jenkins and Bakhtiari and you get through the first four games 2-2 and then you get them both back, remember, the other problem here is you turn down the bye week after London, and so your bye is not until December. I would just say, with those two guys, yeah, I don't necessarily like the offensive line they're trotting out there right now, but I would much rather have those two guys for games 5 through 17 than starting the season right away and then not being available later.
Jason, should Aaron Rodgers expect a call from Roger Goodell or the league about his ayahuasca use?
Yeah, that's a good question, Jen. It is not – now, you guys help me out here because I don't know my drugs very well. It is not on the band list for
What are you saying about us, Jason?
That you're well-read.
Oh, okay.
Hey, they gave me the Vicodin, Jason.
I thought you gave all yours to Favre. You and Yurko. But it is a Schedule I drug, right? If I read the things that I read over the weekend or over yesterday correctly. So it's not technically banned, but it is technically illegal. He didn't do those things in the United States. I would say this looks like a gray area.
Mm-hmm.
But again, and look, I talked way more about this than I was comfortable with yesterday. I would just say this. I understand that he's on a journey that others of us who have not expanded our minds can understand or appreciate. I don't know if the 2.5-hour podcast during which, I listened to a little more and then I couldn't do it anymore, frankly. I don't know. I know he doesn't care what anybody thinks, or that's what he says. I think he opened up some cans of worms, including maybe one with the league that he really did not serve himself well by opening. So I would hope that based on the circumstances, this is not something that's going to impact his availability or put him in some sort of program. But I can guarantee you this, the NFL was paying attention. And while some of us didn't make it through 2.5 hours, I am sure someone in the league office on Park Avenue definitely listened to it and definitely has their ears perked up about it.
Jason, always great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us this morning, and have a great time at family night tonight.
Weather permitting. All right, everybody, take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can, of course, hear him on Wilde and Tausch and a myriad of programs here on ESPN Milwaukee every single day after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We got to take a break. Craig Karmazin coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
I think we miss Chris in so many different ways that we don't even realize, especially on the defensive side and the defensive rebounding side in this series.
Fridays with Mo.
You can't leave Kringle out for 24 hours.
Dude, come on. You think that's... I'm not the Kringle cleanup repairman.
Now he's flexing his owner muscles here.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend Friday.
Always enjoy our time talking with Craig Karmazin here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Craig. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Have a big question for you. Ooh. I need some life help here.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Hit us.
So, does it matter... like your right sock versus your left sock?
I don't, for the most part, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because my socks, like, say R and L on them, but then a lot of times when, like, they get, like, put them together, like, I have two R's, and, like, I don't know. I don't,
The polo
logo. I
don't
feel a difference, but am I missing some thing in sock wearing that, like?
Yeah, the polo logo has to go on the outside of the ankle, Craig. Can't go on the inside.
The what logo?
Polo.
So I have like polo, the Bombas.
Like Ralph Lauren? Like
yes.
Yeah, I don't have those fancy socks. So how much do you think I'm spending on socks in a year, big guy?
I'm talking about Craig. Craig ain't wearing Schmucker's socks
no,
here.
I wear Bombas.
Bombas are the best socks.
No, they're not. Head are.
Excuse me?
Head.
Head?
Head.
Craig, do you know what head is?
Yeah, Craig knows what head is.
Don't you think you would wear toes?
Craig, you know what head is.
That's not an appropriate question.
Craig, you are a tennis player. You
I know
what
the
head
tennis
is.
Brand. I know the tennis brand, but that was naughty.
Sorry.
Especially when it comes to athletic socks. Now, I think some dress socks. Yeah, like you notice the logo is supposed to be. But when if you're just like going to work out.
But I'm
out,
not talking logo. I'm more thinking comfort or like. Is there any health issue? Like, oh, my God, you're going to be, like, injured. You're wearing your left sock and your right sock.
I don't think so. I don't even think it matters. I'm talking pads. You
sure.
Pads
like,
are.
On mine, on these Bombas socks, it, like, labels them R and L. But, like, half the time, I'm not thinking about it. I don't know. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Speaking of socks, do you guys remember wigwams?
Yes.
Those were the best.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh. Craig, those were lush.
Yeah. Wigwams were, those were big time socks back in
all
the
right.
day.
So, Craig, you had a question for us. We've got a question for you. Are you familiar at all with the activities that Aaron Rodgers has now involved himself with ayahuasca?
You know, not much. So I started the podcast and then I actually bounced around to some other Good Karma podcasts that were in honor of our 25 year anniversary this week. So I didn't, I got through about 15 minutes, 20 minutes of the podcast. So I would not say I'm familiar with the activities.
What do you think?
I'm on board with Aaron, you know, almost all the time. And this is not getting me off the reservation at all. Like, I'm still team Aaron because, you know me, I go to therapy and I'm kind of into the whole self-discovery, and ultimately for Aaron, I think all the things he's doing ultimately have no negative motivation. It's not, oh, he wants attention, oh, he wants this or that. I think he genuinely wants to be the best person, player, leader he can be, and he wants to, you know, help, you know, other people be their truest self. So at the end of the day, I have no issue with any of this path that Aaron's going on. And I don't think any of it is a negative for the Packers. And I think, if anything, it's a positive. And, you know, some of the things he talked about in the podcast about making discoveries in his throwing motion and all that, I thought were really interesting.
If you were to do Hiawatha, would you want to do it with your brain or mine? Because mine would be a wild ride.
Yeah. So explain to me what it actually is. So is that going back to like the not eating, and then it sensory overloads you and you kind of like...
I mean, I don't know what you do beforehand. I just know that the process of ayahuasca, so it's a 3-day process. You have the Sherpa there with you that helps guide you on your journey. And it's a tea. Like you drink the tea, you know, every night, and then...
And you're throwing up though, right? Because didn't the grandmother say, no, don't throw up yet or something?
Purge. Not yet, my son.
His grandmother, right?
Well, a grandmother. I don't know if it was his grandmother.
Wait, so when you're doing this, do you need a biological grandmother or just any grandmother as part of the process?
How do you know she's a grandmother?
Now, is a grandmother like in her 40s work, or does it have to do with the age? Because I've met grandmas in their late 30s. So I what kind of grandma do you need for this kind of thing?
I mean, he just said that the certain brew that was offered to him in the one he went in very detail in during the podcast was, it had a grandmother spirit about him, and that was in his journey. He was visited by, I don't think he ever said his grandmother, but I believe it was a grandmother.
Okay.
Yeah. And we don't know if this was a gamilf, right?
Yeah, no. No.
A gamilf.
Can we say that?
Here's the thing.
It's a gilf. It's not gamilf.
How are you going to get upset for us for asking you if you knew what head was, and then you're going to drop gamilf in there?
Isn't that like Gamikolite? Isn't that like the days? Like, isn't that?
Is that Jen laughing or is that my grandmother?
It's Jen. I was going to have her sit this one out, but now I need her. Jen.
I thought it was grandma.
What is a gamilf?
No, we don't. All right, never mind.
Jen, I know gamilf's your age, so don't laugh.
Please stop.
Wait, I thought you were. Can I be honest with you for a second? I thought that you were speaking Hebrew.
Oh boy, this went sideways quickly.
I'm putting on my 2 weeks notice. Just everyone here can hear that.
What's your take on the whole Deshaun Watson thing?
I don't get it. I don't, you know, and I know this is really, really unpopular opinion right here. I don't get what suspending people from their jobs have to do with crimes, like, or, you know, or... you know, both crimes or, you know, issues that people have and, you know, things that they do. So, like, when Michael Vick, you know, did what he did, you know, the law should decide what the penalty is for the crime. But then rehabilitating someone, I don't get how a suspension of a certain amount of games, like, or preventing people from doing their jobs should be part of, like, the NFL's deal. Like,
You don't think it's a privilege to play in the NFL?
Well, I think every team can decide if they want to have him, and it's a free country. And I think it's a privilege. But I think
If I went out and did some stuff that reflected poorly on Good Karma Brands, you would be well within your right, as we know, president of GKB, to not want to be associated with me.
Still not president of GKB, just for the record.
I know. That's why I laughed. You would be well within your right not to associate with me or not want me associated with your brand. That's what this is.
Right, and I think the Cleveland Browns have that decision, but knowing all the information they know, they decided to trade for him.
No. I think you're making the distinction between ESPN Milwaukee and Good Karma Brands. So you're saying that ESPN Milwaukee could make that decision, but the Good Karma Brands wouldn't have a say in it?
No,
the Browns are a part of the NFL.
But you know, the NFL is owned by the 32 teams, right? So that's who owns the NFL. So this is a team thing. And again, I think they have a choice to do that. But Ray Rice, I don't know who benefited from Ray Rice not playing football again. I don't think one less, you know, woman was assaulted or abused or I don't know what came, you know, as a positive from Ray Rice not playing football again.
It's an indication that actions have consequences, that you can't, you know, Mike Tyson, your girlfriend / future wife in an elevator, have it be seen by millions and millions of people and then have there be no ramifications for it.
Yeah. And again, I think criminal ramifications, you know, are real and should be real. And what those criminal ramifications are. But, you know, again, when we're talking about, again, yeah, I go back to Michael Vick, and I don't know. I think a lot of this can be, you know, I think there's mental health, there's therapy, there's a lot of things that are more important than, oh, if someone got 4 games or 6 games, like, I mean, what Deshaun Watson did is terrible, right? And so, like, does suspending him for 6 games make it better? Like, you know, especially when people can move the signing bonuses around and move the dollars around, like, or, and if it was 1 year, would that, you know, and he's still going to make $200 million? Like, I think we got to get at the root of the issues here instead of, like, getting so worried about the football part of it.
Sorry, yeah. I just, I disagree wholeheartedly. I think that if you're going to, it's a privilege to play in the NFL. And if you can't carry yourself a certain way, if you can't act a certain way, the NFL is well within its rights to say, we don't want you representing our brand anymore. That's why we are going to suspend you. That's why we are not going to allow you to contribute to the team. That's why you're not going to get to celebrate the wins and the success that the franchise, you know, comes across during this time.
But it just feels so arbitrary to me. So, Jen, if he, you know, like, it is such a, I have a daughter, right? You think about how terrible what Deshaun Watson did was. So if he did that once, okay, so, all right, is if he does it once, is that one game, two games, five games, six games, you know, and then he does it, you know, 20 times, 30 times, maybe 100 times, you know, not everyone came forward. So should he have a 100-year suspension? Like, maybe. And, like, that's why it feels to me so arbitrary when you start trying to figure out, oh, well, this one was three games, and this was six games. This happened in a bathroom. This happened, like it's sick, like, to me. And so, to me, like, I just don't know that the NFL, you know, should be in that business. I think teams and the market should decide. And ultimately, you know, I just think, you know, I think rehabilitating – you know, people is more important than an arbitrary suspension of games that obviously the teams are making sure that these guys aren't even penalized for whatever they're suspended for.
Oof.
Like, there's no penalty. Even if he was suspended for a
year. Let me just ask you this, Craig. Do you have a code of conduct?
If he's suspended for a year, what are the ramifications ultimately? He's not losing money. They made his contract. He's not losing money if he's suspended.
Well, I mean,
for a
year. The settlements, he obviously had to pay out settlements, and I know that there's issue with, of course, the Browns giving him all that money, which he then turned around and just handed over to, you know, the people that he allegedly assaulted in the form of settlements. But, like, you have a code of conduct. You expect certain things from the people who you employ. I think that's as basic as this is. And when someone violates that, the company is well within its rights to say, we're going to put you on the shelf, or we're not going to associate you going forward. And I understand your idea of rehabilitation. I could also make the argument that that's not your place to do either. You know what I mean? Like, you're talking about overstepping boundaries. I could make the argument that trying to rehabilitate people oversteps boundaries.
But we also have to say, he did not commit a crime, Jen. He didn't commit a crime.
And,
because there was a grand jury, and the grand jury said, no, there's not enough here to charge him.
Sure.
So this is a civil matter, so... I see both sides.
That's where I think he's a deviant. Like, you know, I don't know. Like, since he hasn't committed a crime, according, you know, I think he's a deviant. And, you know, there's a, you know, if you're going to have that person working for you.
The federal judge said she found enough, right? She said it was egregious. And, I mean, there were all of those words that were in the report that came out earlier this week that were like, look, something happened here, right? Some stuff happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Multiple times it happened.
Yeah.
The word egregious was used, right? But she was kind of handcuffed to the precedent that the NFL had set with some of its previous punishments and said six games feels in line with. And you could also make the argument that by the words that she used in that statement and in that report, she was giving the NFL the right to say, hey, this is all I can do based on the precedent you've set. But if y'all want to do more, here's all the information you need. Right? Like, I just find it interesting that as somebody who runs a company who, like, you've poured your blood, sweat, and tears into Good Karma Brands, if you learned that somebody that you employed was a deviant behavior, no matter how talented they were, I know you, Craig, you would say, nah, it's, you know, it's a liability on our brand.
Right.
It's a liability on what we're trying to do.
Jen, what I think I would honestly do is either fire the person because I wouldn't want them associated with the company, or... I would realize, you know what, this is, you know, this is a mental issue. This is something that, again, like I believe with Michael Vick, I don't believe he knew he was doing something wrong. I think he grew up in a culture where he had no idea. So either I would, you know, fire the person or I would really work at rehabilitating them. And, you know, if I determined that them working was actually better for them than them not working, then they might, assuming it wasn't harming anyone around them, I might have them continue to work because it could be better for that rehabilitation process.
Interesting perspective. Craig, we appreciate you as always. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Happy Gmilfing, everyone.
He's got to be suspended for a week, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
no, we're firing him. I'm the president.
I think he wants to be rehabilitated, guys. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on right after this.
Palermo's is Wisconsin's hometown pizza. They've been making great-tasting frozen pizza, including Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, Scream, and Sicilian, locally for over 55 years. What's great about Palermo's is they have so many different premium frozen pizzas. So if you're looking for a thicker, more premium, thicker crust, more premium pizza, Scream, and Sicilian, your way to go. Maybe you want to try the Primo Thin. More calorie conscious, nice crispy thin crust. Connie's known for their great crust as well. They have a pizza for every taste. So make sure you keep an eye out for Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer aisle. Palermo's. It's Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The Lollipop Guild. The Lollipop Guild.
Really, and in the name really of
the Lollipop Guild,
we wish to welcome you to Munchkin Land.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You missed any of the Jason Wilde and or Craig Karmazin segments today. Of course, you can find them wherever you get your podcasts and on Wisconsin On Demand. Good conversation there with Craig. I was a little surprised at his position on that, guys, as somebody who, again, has poured his blood, sweat, and tears into a company and obviously cares very much, Gabe, about the character of the people that he hangs with.
So I think the point that he was trying to make that maybe he just didn't communicate well was he just thinks that it should be up to the teams. Like, if Craig were to fire someone here at ESPN Milwaukee, he then has no control if a different radio station in the market decides that that person, despite the issues they may have, would still be worth employing. I think that was the larger point that he was trying to make, that if one team, the Houston Texans, decided to fire Deshaun Watson, or in this case trade him, like it's up to the other team whether or not that, because, I mean, he does have a point. Like, Deshaun Watson's not going to get, even if Deshaun Watson sits out an entire year this year, like, there's still a boatload of cash on the other side of that suspension. Like, there's still a team that decided, despite all these issues, he was worth employing. And that's probably a larger conversation, you know, but I think that was the point he was trying to make.
What are the alternatives, though? You know what I mean? Like, what are the alternatives for somebody who, you know, clearly violates a code of conduct? You know, again, to the point that we talked about the former federal judge making the comments that there's egregious behavior. So certainly there was something there. What are the alternatives other than, you know, kind of cutting ties? And I know Craig mentioned firing as an option, but like other than cutting ties or banning somebody, you know, I'm not sure that I feel like the same right to work extends to NFL players.
What were the other cases she was basing this upon, the other suspensions?
So Ray Rice was suspended six
games. But
that's
games. A crime, though.
Ben Roethlisberger was six.
How long was he suspended? Six games?
Zeke Elliott. Was that, or Zeke, Jesus. Ezekiel Elliott. Yeah, was that another one, guys?
I think he only got four games, maybe? It wasn't six.
It was less than six, for sure. Yeah.
Then what Robert Kraft get?
Zero. Yeah.
That's what drives me nuts, the hypocrisy of it all.
You look at everything going on with Daniel Snyder and the Washington Commanders, and the league came back with their independent investigation, clearing him somehow, even though he still has to go, you know, in front of Congress.
We roll on here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I'm working on a poll for your Milwaukee Brewers, guys. Is it a bad sign that they have dropped four straight, three late-inning losses since the Hader trade, or just bad timing because losing streaks actually happen? We'll get into that right around the corner on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.